One of the more challenging things in the Gospels is the chronology of the resurrection is presented by the four Gospels. They don't contradict, but they can certainly confuse. And as you read things, you're like, what is going on here? Because this doesn't make sense based upon what Mark says, or based upon what Luke says, or Matthew, or John. And I have it at the beginning of the short outline, the 15 points, they're kind of summary points. The challenge, each gospel account is accurate, but none of them records every detail. They may appear to contradict, but a workable timeline can be traced. Okay, some people even argue against the inspiration of Scripture because of the chronology after the resurrection. On the full page notes at the top, I have the Gospels make for an interesting, challenging, and even puzzling timeline for the events following the resurrection of Jesus. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, indicate that a half dozen or more women head to the tomb very early Sunday morning after the Sabbath day to finish Jesus' burial, bringing the spices they need to do so. Once they get there, it gets a little more complicated. But what I'd like to highlight today, and what we're going to do today, is walk through the entire scenario of what happens after the resurrection and show you that the Bible does fit. Sometimes the Bible can be hard to work with. I, again, believe that God reveals Himself complexly because He's an infinite God. To reveal Himself simply would be dishonest, right? But none of the Gospels are trying to give you what we're trying to present today. They're not trying to give you a precise, exact chronology of everything that went on. Each of them gives you pieces that can be pieced together. And what my word in the bulletin is reliability. You can rely upon the Word of God. Okay, that's what I'm going to show you today. But we're also going to, I think we're going to do a walkthrough, kind of like what we did for Christmas. We're not going to have any props or anything. But I'm going to use the longer one. The longer one has all of the verses that pertain to it. The shorter one only picks out, if you will, the best verses. I think the most concise verses, and then references the rest. You see that at the end of the smaller one, you see all of these different references. So the longer one has all of them. I've summarized the points into 15 points in the smaller outline, but we actually have, I think, what, 30 in the larger. Okay? So this will give you an idea here. And I've worked it and worked it. This actually has been one of the more challenging things I've done in the book of Luke. Okay? And obviously I'm working with more than the book of Luke today. But let's pray, and then I'm going to ask for a little assistance. All right? Father, thank you for the privilege of studying your word with your people today. I pray, Lord, that you would give us an understanding of what happened right after the resurrection. And Lord, give us a deeper trust in the Word of God as we do so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I need some help here. I need six ladies to help me out first. Olivia. Miriam, thanks for volunteering. She didn't volunteer, but I volunteered her. And how about the four Hamill ladies? We think that there were probably three Marys in the bunch, but Miriam is going to be Mary Magdalene, okay? Because you have a namesake of her. Miriam's a form of Mary. And Joanna is mentioned by name, so she has to be Joanna. The rest of you, you're important, but not important enough to label, okay? So there's Mary Magdalene, we think possibly Mary, the mother of Jesus, so she's not mentioned by name here, but she was at the cross and the ladies went home and came back. And then Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, and maybe a couple more. I can't remember who all was named, but they think there was probably about six, maybe a few more. Okay? Now we need, let's see here. I need Peter and John. Peter and John. You'll be a good Peter. So why don't you come up here? Samuel is like, don't pick me, don't pick me. I'll pick you. Take your coat off, though. John, are you pretty fast running? And I'm going to pick on Lemuel. And the reason is, he played Jesus back when we did our static drama. Do you remember that? Years ago, we worked through a whole drama over a summer. It took us like 6 months to work through the Matthew 27 and 28, 26, 27 and 28. So Jesus, don't get a big head. You're really not Jesus. Okay, we're going to have more in a minute, okay? If you're not up here and you want to be up here, we'll use you in a second because we need more, okay? But these are the primary people. Okay, we're going to need some angels too. I think Ted would make a good angel, wouldn't he? We'll call on Ted at the right time. But there's actually three or four different angels, okay, in the process. So, by the way, if you want to get your notes, you can. In fact, why don't you run back and get the big stapled notes so you can follow along while you're doing it, okay? Because I want you to be able to do that. I forgot to mention that. So you can kind of see what we're doing and you can also get ready. Now, I'm going to have all six women go back by my office door. All six ladies back by the pastor's office door. I'm going to have Caleb and Sammy sit over there on the steps over there. Okay? Jesus, you can just have a seat here for a minute if you want. It's good to see you're up and around, resurrected, though. Okay? Again, you might even want to look at both outlines, but the smaller outline summarizes the big outline. But let's go first. By the way, the tomb is over here. This will be our tomb. This door on the far south of the auditorium here, okay? So this is the tomb. And this is kind of the garden up in here, okay? You'll get a picture of that. Over here, it's a little bit confusing, but wherever the disciples are is going to be up here. And also John and Peter. And it says they go home, so I don't know if they're in that same building or if they're in another building, but nearby, okay. So anyway, the women return to the tomb to complete Jesus' burial. If you recall, the ladies watch Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' body for burial, and they're in a hurry. Why? It's the Sabbath. So they have to hurry up, and they're not, they do what they need to do, but not all that they want to do. And the ladies want to do more. The ladies are observing. Remember, they see that Jesus is placed and all of that. They leave in time early enough so that they can prepare spices for Jesus so that they can return after the Sabbath to finish the process of Jesus' burial. Okay, so that's what's going to happen here. Notice here it says, the women return to complete Jesus' burial. So as I'm reading this, they're going to slowly walk up and kind of walk over to the corner here. Maybe halfway up, okay? It says, now on the first day of the week, which is what? Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. Matthew 28:1 says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And then Mark says, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, there's another one named by name, brought spices that they may come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Now notice what John says, because this sounds like a contradiction. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary went to the tomb early while it was still dark. So, by saying Mary came, it's not saying the other ladies didn't come. She's the prominent player as John is concerned. Okay, but one of them says it's dark. The other says when the sun had risen. Talk to me about this. Is this a contradiction? Started when it was dark. They're walking, we think, at least a couple of miles. And then one of the commentaries said too is, you know what, when you get any people together, they gather and meet me here at a certain time in the morning. Well, they probably wait for some get there early, some get there late. You know, the Kellys show up early, Super's right at the tail end, and they all leave together. Okay, so, and then they walk a couple of miles. So, but it's dark when they leave, but it's light when they get there. Okay? So, makes sense? It doesn't have to be a contradiction. And it isn't. It isn't a contradiction. It's just, it's giving one part of the story. All right? When you add it together, it makes sense that way. Now, in the meantime, and we're not going to act this out, but number two is an angel rolls away the tomb and the guards shake in fear. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Hunter, you want to be a guard? Come on up here, will you? Joseph, you can too. You're a good actor. Okay. You guys are over here guarding the tomb, okay? Remember the priest set up a guard? Remember that? Now, Ted, the angel Ted, comes from heaven, and he's going to create an earthquake over here. It doesn't say the angel didn't made an earthquake, but he's going to descend from heaven, so probably top of the stairs down, Ted.
Got to go up and then down.
Yeah, got to go up and then down, okay. So there's an earthquake, so why don't you help us with an earthquake, Ted? There we go. I'm like, okay. And he rolled back the stone, so Super Angel Ted is going to roll back the stone with this remote stone roller, okay? And his countenance was like lightning, with a reflection off of his head, maybe. And then his clothing was white as snow, and the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. So you guys are afraid, now you fall to the ground. Ted has that impact. Okay? So we're going to leave them here for now, but the guards, I'll let you go ahead and... Why don't you sit in the front pew, because I'm going to talk about you later, okay? So sit right there. Joseph, do you want to get your notes so you can follow along here? Now, as the women are walking, and all this is kind of... Somehow that happens, and it seems to happen in the process, like the women leave, and then the Bible brings up that this happens, okay? The women say to themselves, in Mark chapter 16, verse 3, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? Right? They're not women's livers. They're not lifting weights. They know the stone is huge. It's heavy. And they're like, we're not sure how this is going to happen. There's six of them, and they don't think the six can move it. Right? So they come and find the stone rolled away. So Ted, you might want to sit back down for a little bit, but you'll be back. So they come up here and you're all shocked because you find the stone rolled away from the tomb. So let's hear the shock. Anyway, close enough. So Luke 24:2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Mark 16, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And John 20, verse 1, and they saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Taken away as in rolled away, not picked up and hauled away, right? Now, Mary Magdalene. Which one's Mary Magdalene? Okay, she's in heels. So, but listen, we have to look from their perspective. They don't know the whole story. We do, right? We have 30 points. We can tell you what happens next. What does Mary think has happened? Someone has taken the body of Jesus. So on point five, it says, Mary Magdalene runs to tell Peter, and who we think is John. It says, then, John 20, verse 2, then she, and I'm referencing verse 1 of John 20, Mary Magdalene, talking about her, because John 20 only mentions Mary, not the rest of the ladies. But she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, now notice what she's saying to them. Now you have to, like, Miriam, you know, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So what is she thinking again? Someone stole the body of Jesus. And you see this ongoing for a while. That's what everybody thinks. This isn't a conspiracy to try and make it look like Jesus rose from the dead. They think that someone stole the body. Okay, so number six here. You can strike number six from your notes. It comes later. That's why I forgot to delete it. Okay? So strike number six from your notes. So actually we're at 29 points. Okay? Trust me, I've had to work on this for a while. Okay? So, number seven then, and the other disciple, which Jesus loved, which we think John is referring to himself, entered the tomb and observed the linen cloth. So notice this. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So get up and just slowly start doing it. So they both ran together and the other disciple outran Peter. So he gets there first. Okay? All the way to the tomb. Ladies, you're off. You go to the tomb. I think the ladies wait here. They don't know what to do. Okay? So they wait until Mary gets back, and we think Mary comes back with probably slower with Peter and John. Okay? John makes it to the tomb first, and he, stooping down, looked in. Okay? Saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came. He finally caught up. Peter was quite a bit older. Possibly even like real old, like is in his 50s. I think John might be in his 20s, right? Okay, if that gives a perspective. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. So you might have to open that tomb door, since Ted didn't get the door all the way open. I didn't even think about that, Ted. And went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in its place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw, and interesting, you might want to underline this, and believed. John was the first to believe what happened. Nobody else did yet. For as yet they did not know the Scripture, and know as in understand Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead, because Jesus had been telling them that for all 3 years, and the Old Testament certainly brought it up over and over, right? Okay, now notice this. What happens next? Number eight here, the two disciples return to their own homes. They look and it's like, yep, it's empty. And they go home. So Peter and John, you return home. Matter of factly, yep, the body is gone. And they return home. That's early in the morning. You know, sun rising. Maybe they're going back to bed. Doesn't say. But it's like, I doubt if they could sleep after this. But that's like, they really don't know. John believes. He apparently doesn't say anything. But Peter doesn't know what's going on either. He's unsure. But they just go home. What are the ladies doing? They're still wondering what's going on. Right? The men just go home. Well, thanks. You've been helpful. Right? Not at all. So what we think then, and this is with the fuzzy part, it's a little bit fuzzy, but we're not really sure. But Mary and the ladies seem to be a little separate. So the ladies maybe are wandering around in the garden a little bit. Okay? Just up here. And Mary, number 9 says, Mary stays at the tomb weeping. Mary stood outside by the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Okay? Mary looks into the tomb and sees two angels sitting at either end of where Jesus' body had lain. So John 20, verses 11b to 12 says, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. That's part of the same verse I just read. And she saw two angels in white sitting at one head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. So we're going to bring Ted back up. He'll be on one side. And Thomas, the other angel, on the other side. We'll just do it on either side of the door, okay? I know, this takes a lot of creative thinking, doesn't it? Okay? And the two angels question her. Now, this is interesting, because it's different than what happened. She doesn't even hang around. The two angels ask her, they said to her in John chapter 20, verse 13, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, she doesn't seem to be aware of who these two angels are. She is distraught, and what is she still thinking? Someone has taken his body. And she's crying. Right? She's just beside herself with grief, number one, that he was put to death, and now they've taken his body. How bad can they be? How horrible can it get? Right? Now, this is interesting here. She turns. Stay over there. You stand up. You're good. Stand up. But the way that the Bible said is a little different than what it translates it. But she turns around. She doesn't stick around to get clarification of like who these guys are sitting in the tomb. She's distraught, and all she cares about is finding what? The body of Jesus. You'll see that coming forward here. The Bible says she backs out. She turns around, and she's going to look for Jesus' body. She sees, when she had done this, it says she had said this, she turned around, and apparently she sees a man in the distance. What is she trying to do? She's trying to find the body of Jesus. So what does she do? She approaches him. Notice here, it says she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Part of the explanation, as we understand it, is the distance. The other part is she's crying. She can't even see clearly. She just talked to angels. And it didn't even click in her head. Right? Both of them in the tomb. Now notice, now, by the way, I have a divided column going forward because I think these things now are happening simultaneously. So Mary's at a distance, right? That's what we think because it makes sense here. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Go ahead, tell her that. No, stay here. Why are you weeping? Woman, why are you weeping? Go ahead, you can say it out loud. Woman.
Why are you weeping?
Why are you weeping? Yeah. Whom are you seeking?
Go ahead. Whom are you seeking?
And she, supposing him to be the what? The gardener, he might know what? Where the body of Jesus is. She said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. I'll take him off your hands." She's trying to find the body of Jesus. We're going to continue on that left side until we're done with that part here. As she's walking toward him, right? Go ahead and walk toward him, Miriam. Jesus says to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. Okay? And then it says here, I'm gonna skip Mark 16:9 for a second. And then in verse 17 says, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." So she recognizes him when the voice, she's not seeing clearly. You're right up against him now, okay? Apparently she falls down and grabs a hold of him, okay? You don't have to do that. And she says, Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now go up one point again to Mark 16:9, which is kind of later in the Mark narrative. It says, "Now when he rose early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." So you see, he appears to Mary Magdalene alone, without the women first, okay? So Mary, I'm just going to let you sit in that chair for now. But she seems to be heading back. Jesus just told her to go tell the brethren, right? And say to them, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Okay? So, go back to the column now on the previous page, number 16. Do you see that on the bottom of the first sheet? So the women finally, they're around somewhere, maybe waiting nearby or something, but they see Mary distraught, she's off. They come and they're like, they're going to do their own investigation. So they go to the tomb, and they go into the tomb. You don't see that. Yeah, thanks. Very cordial angels. They go into the tomb and they do not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So now they have it firsthand, okay? Sometimes they put this before Mary heads back, but it seems to make sense here that they finally go in themselves, okay? And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. So there was different, the angels had changed positions, different things. That doesn't mean it's contradictory. How many here have changed positions since you've been here? Yeah. You've been all over the place, right? The angels aren't just going to, like, stick men. They're going to stand up, they're going to sit down, they're going to do different things, right? So that's what's happening here. All right, now on the number 18. The women are surprised, and now there's two men in shining garments. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the ground. You guys, Yeah, you're close now. Number 19 now, the visitors, visitors, I call them visitors, they're angels, we think they're angels, question the women and then reinforce what has actually happened. Mary didn't stick around long enough to hear this because she thought Jesus' body was there and she was just looking for the body of Jesus. She was on a mission to find the body of Jesus so she could rebury him and continue that grief process, right? Luke 24 says, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Remember, we talked about this. "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. Remember, we talked about that 3 weeks ago now, right? They were like, "Oh, yeah." Click. By the way, only one apostle so far has clicked. Right? And even when Jesus appears, one apostle doesn't even click because he's not there and he didn't see it firsthand. Wow. Okay? Matthew 28, 5 and 6. "But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.'" Okay? Mark 16, 6 says, "But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him.'" And it's like, look, the evidence is here. There's no body. Look for yourselves. They're explaining the evidence. Okay, now they're instructed, number 20 here, to tell Jesus disciples of Jesus' resurrection and to meet him in Galilee. So they give a little different information than what Jesus gave Mary. What did Jesus tell Mary? I'm ascending. Okay? Jesus, or the angels tell them, go tell the disciples that Jesus is resurrected. So go quickly and tell his disciples, stop there, that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And Mark says something, but go tell his disciples and Peter, kind of points out Peter specifically, that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Now, we're not sure exactly the order, but they're heading along the way. The women are doing what they're told, right? They're now, oh yeah, it's clicked. Now they get it. Now they're heading back. The angels have told them this. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Now Mark 16:8 says, so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb. Fled with not... They're not afraid of the tomb. They're just eager to get back. For they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They weren't going to talk to anybody else. They were going to go straight to the disciples. Not Pasco, not collect $200. They're going straight as they were told, right? So they're heading along the way, and now what happens? Number 22, the women meet Jesus on the way. They were not expecting this. And he speaks to them, and they worship him. Matthew 28:9-10, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice! So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now they get it. Right? They understand this is Jesus and this is the resurrected Jesus. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee and there they will see me. Isn't that what the angels just told them? Yep. Further instructions. Okay? Now, pause here. We're going to pause the remote here. Now, somewhere along the line, this happens because it shows up in the next verses in Matthew. What happened to the guards? They became like dead men, but what happened to them? They wake up in the... Whether they passed out, whether they were just so scared they weren't going to move. Have you ever been so scared you just lay there and don't move? Right? You hear noises. Maybe they'll go away or something. But they finally get up because everybody's gone or whatever, and the tomb is empty, which means they have what? They have failed in their assignment to guard the tomb. This is a problem. It could even be a lethal problem because if you fail, oftentimes you would be put to death. You had to... What? Oh, yeah, that sounds plausible. The stone rolled away on its own. Wink, wink. Right? Sure. And they saw the angel, right? Apparently. They saw... They were scared. And it's like, yeah, that'll go over real well. Because that happens all the time. Every Sunday morning we have this. No, it's never happened before. Right? So now, while they were going, the women were going... Behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests. Why don't you just go up to the pulpit area, guards? You're going to report to the chief priests. I'll be the chief priest here for now. All right? You can ignore Miriam because she's not there. Okay, you're reporting to me all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, so the chief priests got the whole group together. They gave them a large sum of money to the soldiers. It's like, here, have a lot of money. Why? Saying, tell them. Whose idea was this? The chief priests and the elders. It wasn't the soldiers. The soldiers were telling them what they had seen. What had happened. What did the chief priests and elders want? We don't want this to get out. So they're going to pay off the soldiers. Think of the deep unbelief of the chief priests and the elders. They want nothing to do with the supernatural. They refuse to believe the obvious. Okay? So they tell the soldiers, tell them, His disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. Why would they have to pay the soldiers a large sum of money to do that? Because they're risking their lives, because they're saying we slept on the job. Right? It's kind of like a gamble there. And the priests are talking, and if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So if you get found out by the governor that you were sleeping, as you say, on the job, we'll intervene for you to keep you from getting put to death. This is the chief priests and the elders. We don't want anyone to think something supernatural has happened, as it appears that it has. So they took the money and did what they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So you guys can go sit down. Okay, thank you very much, guards. Now, Mary had a head start because she saw Jesus first, right? If you guys... Peter, John, I want you up in the corner now. And Hunter and Joseph and Daniel, why don't you go up there too? These are the apostles. Go up in the corner now. Okay, it's late enough. They're sitting there talking or whatever about what's going on. They're probably scared to death because their leader just got crucified, right? Peter denied Jesus 3 times because he knew what would happen if they thought he was a follower of Jesus. Remember the garden? They all ran away. Why? They didn't want the same thing happening to them that happened to Jesus. They're scared. Okay? So Mary returns and she tells the disciples that she had seen Jesus. Mary Magdalene, this is number 24, came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Right? She went and then Mark 16 records something similar. She went and told those who had been with him and they mourned and wept. They mourned and wept. Mourn doesn't sound like they believed her. You with me? And by the way, Mary's distraught. You can't really believe what she's saying. Can you maybe think that in their mind? What they would perceive it as? Mary is as reliable a witness as anybody, but they're not giving her the time of day. And by the way, that continues to happen because there are other women that show up. The other women now, Jesus, you can sit back down. Number 25, then the other women, returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. By the way, the 11 is more of a title for the group because one person is not there. Who's not there right now? You guys can sit down if you want. Thomas, we'll be calling you again here shortly. They returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest that happened to be with them. Probably other ladies and stuff. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. So now it kind of lumps all the women together. And all the women are saying, we've seen Jesus. And he says, we'll meet you at Galilee. I'll meet you at Galilee, right? Notice number 26 now. The stalwart men who have been with Jesus for 3+ years. And their words seem like to them like idle tales and they did not believe them. So there's at least 6 women saying, we've seen Jesus. And it's like, I'm putting some words in their mouth, but they seem like idle tales. It's like, no, you just think you saw Jesus. It's been a rough day on us all. It's been a rough few days, right? They didn't believe him. Now, notice here now, this comes later in the narrative in Luke, and it appears that Peter returns for a second visit to the tomb. Part of it is the narrative. Notice it's after the women have told the men in verse 11. You see that number 26 there? Look at your notes. Number 26. The women tell them, and they don't believe. Now Peter leaves. So he appears to go take a second take. So Peter goes back to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying beside them, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. Notice, this time he didn't just go to his house. He marveled. Now he's like, it's starting to sink into him. Maybe the women are telling the truth. And what happens here? Notice next to number 28, I have it in brackets. Because no one records this, but this seems like where this happens. But Peter is returning. And notice later on in Luke 24, it says, they're reporting now later on. It says, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to whom? Simon, Peter, right? This is when we think it happened. So Peter's on his way back and Jesus appears to Peter. None of the Gospels record this. They only refer to it in Luke chapter 24 and 34. Somewhere along the way, Jesus appears to Peter. We think it's the second trip that Peter had by himself. He goes and re-examines the evidence and he's like, And he's on his way back, and Jesus appears to him. We don't have any conversation. We don't know more. But 1 Corinthians 15:5, that's in under point 28 there, says it as well. And that he was seen by Cephas. That's another name for Peter. That's the Greek form of the word. But he's seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. Now they call the 12 the 12. It wasn't really 12 because one was missing. Judas, right? There's only 11, but think of it as almost a group title now, right? So then Peter sees Jesus, and then he heads back. So Peter, you can go to the group. I have this a little mixed up here, but when they heard that he was alive and been seen by her, this is when Mary, this one should be back after number 25, actually. They did not believe her. They didn't believe Mary. And then the rest of the ladies show up. They thought they were idle tales. Now, the last thing that happened on that day still is then Jesus appears to the disciples on the evening of the first day. Later on in the day, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. So Jesus, you can go over there where the disciples are, and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Okay? By the way, I don't even have this part in there right now, but later on, Jesus appears to the, before this time, part of the day, he appears to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. Okay, so this is in the evening. He appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus in the afternoon. He walks with them for miles and talks to them about Jesus having to suffer and all that, and they don't know who he is. Okay, we're going to actually go through that whole thing next week. That's what we're going to talk about next week. Jesus appears to 10 of the 11 disciples, and one of them's missing besides Judas. He's gone for good now. But Thomas isn't there. And Thomas says, I don't believe you, and I won't believe it unless I see the nail-pierced hands. So, guess what? Jesus appears later, maybe later in the week, and appears with Thomas there. And Thomas said, do you need, you know, Jesus approaches Thomas directly and says, what else do you need to see? And he believes, my Lord and my God, right? So, anyway, thank you everyone. Give him a good hand. Thank you to our angels. I have forever seared my mind with regard to angels now. But it seems to work out this way. There seems to be a necessary second visit by Peter, even in the chronology of Luke. When people combine them together, it confuses things. Mary has to become separated from the women somehow. She runs back first. They seem to kind of hang around. She goes to get help, the leaders, Peter and John, bring them back. They don't really know what to think. John seems to believe, but he's a young guy and he just stays quiet, apparently. Mary sees Jesus, returns, reports they don't believe her. The rest of the ladies see Jesus return, they don't believe them. Peter goes back for a second time, has it maybe an aha moment. He marvels then, because he didn't marvel the first time. They're like, huh, right? He sees Jesus. That's when he sees Jesus, because he's by himself. He's seen by Cephas, not Cephas and John. Not Peter and John. And then Jesus appears late in the evening to the entire group of disciples. And then it clicks with them. It's like, oh, guess the ladies were telling the truth. It's confusing when you try and piece it together. It literally has taken me 3 weeks to work it all together. If I could recommend an article on the short sheet paper, I thought about reading through the article today, but I thought it more fun this way. But there's a link at the bottom, okay? And it parallels this very well. It doesn't have all the verses like this, but it highlights everything. And I think the only thing, I'll correct this, because there's at least two things that are incorrect here. Number 6 needs to go away, and number 29 needs to be moved up. So, but that's the account of the resurrection day. And my point is, even though the Bible at times might confuse us, it's all true and reliable. Just because we can't always put the pieces together, and I think this is, you can put it together, it just takes time, right? Again, I've moved stuff around a lot. In fact, I kind of work through it. I have another whole chart. I have a 7-page chart here, right? And I kept working with it. I have the 7-page article that the guy, actually it's 18 pages. His narrative is about 7 pages. But just working through different things, a lot of commentaries just ignore it. So that's the frustration of a commentary, because it doesn't tell you what you want to know. It tells you the obvious, what you figured out on your own, right? But I think this is a very good, reliable timeline. But the Word of God, even when it says, like, okay, it's dark and they arrive when it's dawn, it doesn't contradict. You just have to understand there's a context. If there's one angel or two, sometimes one angel is the one that's speaking. There might be two there. Or maybe there's one angel and then there's a second angel that appears. It's not contradictory information. If they say there's one angel, it doesn't contradict. It's not saying there's only one. Okay, so understand that. So don't, you can always approach the Bible to say there are errors in the Bible, and you can always land on the wrong side. But I believe the Bible will always fit together. It's reliable, it's there, and here's a 29-point, after you remove the one, 29-point timeline that fits, it works. Now, I wish we could have a movie of where the women were, you know, at different times and all that. That would help us to explain it a little more. But there's nothing contradictory. Okay? The Bible is reliable, and a lot happened on that day. Another thing I would highlight is they didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. That was not their first default belief. Even Mary, who was very close to Jesus, thought his body was stolen. And the 11 apostles thought he was dead. It was over. And Peter doesn't seem to have had it click the first time. He had to have women, Mary first, and then the rest of the women say it. And even then, he kind of like, he runs back to the tomb to look a second time. And it finally clicks on for him. And then he sees Jesus. Right? So, If someone was going to fake a religion, this is a lousy way to do it. Right? They would have made it, oh, it worked perfectly. Right? No, it's just the opposite. They, in all the time that the apostles were with Jesus and all that, they were not expecting it that Jesus was going to die. After everything was said and done, Peter was going to protect him. Remember? Not going to even let him die. It's not going to happen. Instead, it's the other way around. Okay? So those are the the reliability of the Bible, but also the surprise of the group of disciples, including the apostles. And it finally, it took him halfway through the day to finally get it. And it seemed by evening before the apostles actually fully believed. When Jesus appeared, then it's like, one more thing I've mentioned here, and I think we don't understand this fully, but in our day, when you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. The Bible says He teaches you. Now, I don't think that means you're taught apart from the Bible, because guess who inspired the Bible? The Holy Spirit. But I'm saying He helps you get it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, as we understand. When did they receive the Holy Spirit? Pentecost. Right? So it was like, they're slow to believe, but give them a little bit of benefit, because you have the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit attunes your understanding to be able to affirm things that otherwise you would have a hard time doing that. Okay? So give them a break. Don't be critical, but understand that they were shattered, that their Savior was crucified and dead. They saw Him die. And they saw Him buried. Some of them did bury Him, right? And they went back to expecting to find a body, right? And guess what? All that Jesus had said came true. It just took them a while to get it. But you can count on the Bible to be reliable, even if it's sometimes it's a little difficult to fit, you know, to figure out how it all worked out. The Bible's not trying to give you a line-by-line chronology. I don't know why, except that God is complex and to reveal Himself simply would be dishonest, right? That's my only conclusion that I can come to. But each writer of the Gospels, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is trying to tell you something specific, not trying to tell you the timeline in detail. We can just put it all together, but all I'm telling you is it's not contradictory. It's reliable. You can put it together and it fits. It's like the last puzzle my family and I put together. It was horrible because most of the pieces were the same shape. It was horrible. We were able to finish it. We got it done. You can put it together. And this is a reliable timeline of what happened. But you can believe on everything that Jesus says. And you can count on the Bible to be true and reliable. Okay? Next week, the road to Emmaus, which is quite a long narrative, but that's what we're going to cover. And Luke is the only one that covers that. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank You for our interesting time of walking through the day of the resurrection, after the resurrection time frame. I pray, Lord, that You would just deepen our affirmation of the Scriptures. Lord, our affirmation of prophecy, that when Jesus says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And Lord, when we struggle with the Word of God and we can't seem to piece it together, Lord, help us to understand that that's our lack of understanding, not a lack of the authenticity of the Word of God. And thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that helps us to believe in ways without the Holy Spirit we would have a very difficult time doing. Lord, bless our fellowship time and our Sunday school time to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.